Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Much, but God is with us, and His word is amazing. Amazing. His word is health to our bodies. So we're going to continue with our study on the book of Luke tonight. We're into week 5 of Luke. And by a little bit of review, just go over a brief review. Last week we studied about Jesus encountering a man with leprosy. I shared how leprosy is a disease, a flesh wasting away eating disease. It's highly contagious. When people had leprosy, they were banned to a leper colony, and they were away from their families, away from their churches, their friends. And people look down on them because sometimes when you're sick, even today, there's a stigma with that. And people can look down on you. What did you do to cause this? And they tend to judge you even now, but much more back then, back in Bible times. And I'm so thankful that Jesus had compassion on those who were sick. And we're going to talk about that, judging sick people a little bit tonight, just briefly. But in Luke chapter 5, last week, we were told that this man was full of leprosy. And by the way, every word in the Word of God is significant. Am I right? So when the Bible says he was full of leprosy, what that actually means is he did not have the beginnings of leprosy. He actually was in the final stages of terminal leprosy. Leprosy was a terminal disease. It was an incurable disease, and he was in the advanced stages of leprosy because the Bible said he was full of leprosy. Now, here's the thing. When he was in the final stages of leprosy at a colony where the lepers go, this meant that he was going to die by himself alone without the comfort of family, friends, church family, pastors, leaders. He was going to be, his fate was to die alone, much like happened to a lot of people during the time of COVID, right? They died alone, and it was tragic, and it was awful, and no one should have to die that way. But with Jesus, there's always hope and there's always comfort. And this man fell at the feet of Jesus. He called him Lord, which means he called him Adonai, and he worshiped him. So, but it's interesting to me that some people don't worship God when they're good and healthy and very, very blessed. And then other times they choose not to worship Jesus because they're hurting and suffering and in pain. They blame Jesus. So there's always an excuse, right? If you want an excuse not to love God or worship him, these are some excuses, but they don't work with God. Because I mentioned in God's word last week in 3 John 1:2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health." That's the will of the Lord, that you be healed. The root word of be in health is healing. So I've had people tell me from time to time that in judging sick people, they will see that someone has cancer or emphysema or whatever the case may be, and they're very quick to judge that person. They're very quick to say they caused this sickness. I want to tell you that even if you caused something or you were facilitated something that happened to your life, made poor choices, God will still heal you. Because of his mercy, because of his love, because of his compassion, he will still heal you. He can heal you, and he will heal you. Let me give you an example. Suppose I have a car accident, and I'm all banged up, I'm all hurt, and it's my fault. It's my fault. I wasn't paying attention. I was speeding. I made a wrong turn. It's my fault that I got hurt. The question is, will Jesus heal me? We know he can heal us because he's all powerful. The question is, would it then be his will to heal me? And it is, because he is merciful. What if I smoked? What if I made wrong choices in my younger days. I never smoked in my life, so I'm just set the record straight. But what if I did? What if I made wrong choices back in the day and I smoked? Eventually I get cancer or emphysema. God can heal me, but again, will he heal me? The answer again is yes, because Jesus has compassion and he cares and he forgives. Besides that, if I made wrong decisions, does he not forgive our transgressions and our sins? Yes, he does. So in the atonement, we find salvation and healing. So I'm so thankful for that. So we need to stop as human beings, when we see people that have a disease or they're hurting, asking the question, I wonder if they're living for God. I wonder if they've done something. I think that's not the right question. The right question is thank God for the cross and Jesus will heal us. And the other question, well, the question is, do we care? Do we care enough? Now, we talked about the leper last week, and I brought up the subject that because many times Jesus would speak to people and they would heal. He would say, be healed. And they would just be healed by the power of his word. God speaks a word. You can speak a word and a thing is done, like in the case of the centurion. But in the case of the leper, Jesus deliberately touched this man. Now, you were not supposed to touch a leper because then it made you unclean. Under the Jewish law, it made you unclean. Also, it was highly contagious and you were probably going to get that disease. I remember a time when I, Kathy Padgett, had contracted MRSA in the hospital, and she had an open wound in her side, and it was MRSA. And I was taking lessons by a nurse to do that wound, to bandage that wound, to put that. And that nurse was so strong with me. She's like, you must gown up, wear these to do this wound. You must never touch it. She said, you will get more. She was so strong. I'm like, okay. But this is the case with leprosy. It was highly contagious. And so Jesus, in the natural and under the law, should not have touched him. So why did he touch him? First of all, he is the rule maker. He is the king of all kings. He is the ruler. And so he can do what he wants, when he wants, and thus show us who he is, his authority. The second thing in my life that was even more humbling is to understand that Jesus meets us when we're sick or when we have a need exactly where we're at. So what that means is, what did the man need most? Besides healing of leprosy, I submit to you that the thing he needed most was touch. Because he's full of leprosy, which means he's in the advanced stages of leprosy. He probably, as soon as leprosy is caught, you're banished to the colony. He had probably been banished to the leper colony for years, away from his family. Now he's critical. He's full of leprosy. And the thing he needed most, besides healing, was a touch, which in and of itself is healing. How many of you know, have ever studied the five love languages, words of affirmation, gift giving? One of them is physical touch. It's physical touch. We all need a hug. We all need to be touched. And it's the Lord, you know, lay hands on the sick. But tonight we're going to talk about another situation. That's our review. Thank God for the healing of the leper. And we're going to pop over to Luke chapter 13, and I'm going to read you a quick little story, and I'm going to call this a holy interruption tonight. That's my title, a holy interruption. This is a story about a woman who interrupted Jesus, and I want to give you the setting here. Jesus was teaching a Bible study, just like I am tonight. He was teaching a Bible study. This was the last time he ever taught before the cross, by the way, before he went to the cross. So he's teaching a Bible study. It's Jesus, not me. And he gets interrupted by this woman, and I'm going to explain why that's very significant. So let's read Luke 13, and I'm going to start with a few verses from 10 to 17. While he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. I want to tell you in the Greek, that means she was bent all doubled over, completely halfway, and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are free from your disability." He laid hands on her, and immediately, not later, not a month later, immediately she was made straight, unbended, let's say, and she glorified God. Keep in mind that she had this affliction for 18 years. I had COVID for 18 days almost, and I couldn't take it. 18 years, we're talking, 18 years. With suffering comes often depression and discouragement. It's part of it, and that also you have to deal with. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work should be done. Come on those days and be healed." Really? "And not on the Sabbath day." Really? Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites. Do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox and his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And he said these things, all and his adversaries were put to shame. And all the people rejoiced at the glorious things that were done by him. Our first point tonight is the person who was angry was the ruler of the synagogue. It was the pastor. It was the leader of the synagogue. We see that he was angry that it wasn't the right day in his manner of feeling for her to be healed. Don't you just love it when there's a ruler who just is so full of themselves? Here he sees a miracle of healing, and he's like, probably there's jealousy. I didn't do the healing. Someone else did. It's done on a wrong day. But I want to submit to you that if you're ever going to lead or be a ruler, you first have to be submitted yourself under authority, which is God's authority and man's designated authority, if you're going to rule well. But the most important of all is you must love people well. This was a ruler who didn't love people well. And I want to point out to you that it was interesting to me and so amazing that what Jesus said about the donkey and the ox here. It's amazing. It's an amazing analogy because here's what he's saying in essence. He's not just saying you take care of your animals, you go unbind your animals. This woman had to be loosed from this infirmity. She had to be set free from this. He's telling us here, you're willing to set your animals free and help them with their daily needs, getting water, being fed, getting water. But this woman, you have a problem with her being set free, right? And that's why they got the analogy and they were cut to the heart because of it. So the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, all you got to do is listen to this ruler and know that he is unfit. He is unfit. And the Bible says that these adversaries were put to shame. Who's your adversary? The devil. The enemy is your adversary. May he be put to shame by all that God does in your life, that Jesus is doing. So if these adversaries were against the work of God, then they were of the enemy. And the Pharisees of that day and the Sadducees were religious, but they were religious but not interested in relationship with Jesus, and they were not interested in relationship with the people that they served. We have to understand that. Not only did they not want Jesus, they weren't interested in helping the people they served. They were very prideful, very lifted up, very full of themselves, into the power situation. They had special garments made for themselves. They just loved themselves. And so you have to get that feel in the story. In the story of the Good Samaritan, we've seen it was the religious. Again, remember, it was the religious that passed by deliberately and purposely. And not only did the religious leaders pass by the man that was beaten up and bleeding by the side of the road in the parable of the Good Samaritan, they actually went out of their way to cross to the other side of the road. You could have just walked by the man, but they were making a deliberate statement. It's like, if I wanted to, let's say I'm picking on Janice. If I wanted to avoid Janice, I can just walk down the aisle. But if I want to really avoid her, I can walk out this door all around the building. I can, you know, they went out of their way to avoid this broken man who needed help. Someone's laying on the ground and we all just exit the building and move away from them pretty much as far as you can go. I want to tell you something about religion versus relationship. Religion will never satisfy, but relationship will heal and help and make you whole. And I thought about this when I was going to do this, and I felt that the Holy Spirit that God was putting on my heart to make a point here that I'm about to make. Religion is what I'm going to give you the definition of religion. Religion is what the Bible calls a form of godliness in 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness, they look like they're godly. You might think they're godly, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Religion versus relationship. Relationship is what we want. Legalism versus love. We got a law. You can't do this on the Sabbath. We got a law. You can't do this. We got a law. You can't wear that. We got a law. You can't eat. And here's David eating the showbread. You know what? legalism versus love. Love and relationship always win. Religion and legalism out the window. Forget about it. So to get the context of this miracle that's about to happen, that does happen, this encounter between Jesus and this woman, we need to understand that she is a woman who has just walked in while, the Bible says, while Jesus was in the middle of teaching. He's teaching the Bible study, just like tonight, if someone walked in and they were truly suffering. Now, in the Greek, there's a notation that says that this is likely her first encounter with Jesus. According to the word usage, they had not previously met. And this is the last time before the death of Christ that Jesus is ever going to be seen again teaching in a Jewish synagogue publicly. And here she is. This is his grand finale. This is his last sermon, his last Bible study teaching. And he gets interrupted by this woman, but I call it a holy interruption. It's a big deal. Let me tell you, it's a big deal. Because you have to keep in mind that women were considered second-class citizens in that time, and this was even so more, much more, in the religious setting. In the culture of the day, women were not allowed to learn. They could not even read the Torah. What happened in the church services, so to speak, there, is the men would be taught in a big sanctuary like this, and the women would be over to the side among themselves, looking at Pinterest or their Facebook or talking to each other, or they had their phones out, whatever the case may be, but they were not allowed to really listen at all. They weren't supposed to be listening. They were supposed to be asked later. They were not supposed to be listening. They were certainly not supposed to read it or be taught. That was the Jewish custom. They were segregated to the side, and so they were not allowed to learn. But years later, and I heard a teaching on this from several just amazing theologians. It said, people for centuries have beaten to death in this verse that Paul's saying for women to be silent in the church, when it's actually the most beautiful thing that you could possibly ever know, that women should remain silent in the churches, because what he was saying is in that day they had chaos because they had the men in the church here being taught, and they had the women over here, and they were just talking and chattering and things, and he was trying to reestablish order in the church. But what he was doing when he said the women to remain silent, he was inviting the women, get yourselves quiet. You can listen. I want you to learn too. I want you to learn too. And when you go home, you can ask questions. It's really not what you think it is at all. And so many times when we're studying God's word, we need to study the culture of the day also. And we need to know what was going on. Like we talked last week about the guys being brought up to the top of the roof, and I was saying, how did they get to the roof? All it took was a short study for me to figure out and find out that in those days that the buildings were made with stone stairs leading up to the back and up to the roof. So we need to study the culture. So this woman was completely doubled over. She came into this meeting where they were teaching, Jesus was teaching the Torah to a bunch of men. So we're going to call it a men's Bible study, okay? So she comes walking in to the men's Bible study, and she's all bowed over, and she's sick, and she can't, again, like the leper, she couldn't hug her family, and she couldn't see anything except the ground at that point. And, you know, we tend to blame the person, again, you know, just like the blind man said, you know, the disciples ask. This was very common in the culture, too, to blame the sick person, because we see, you know, blind Bartimaeus and several other times, and the man blind from birth, and in Luke 9, said the disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned, the man or his parents, since he was born blind? First of all, someone who's born blind never sinned, right? He was born that way. So he did not commit a sin, and his parents did not sin either. Jesus said, neither. So we need to stop all of that. And if someone had an affliction, they kind of blamed them anyway. So they were very compromised. So they probably did not like this woman coming in, because she was certainly not invited to the men's teaching or the men's Bible study or the sermon. But in the middle of when she comes in and interrupts Jesus, Jesus stops and says, woman. And this may sound kind of cold to us, like you might think he said, woman. He didn't. This term means my daughter, and it also means a term we call honey, honey. He was addressing her with a term of endearment in front of all these guys at the men's Bible study. And when he says woman, that she knew exactly what he meant. And he saw her, That alone is a sermon, that Jesus was willing to look at her and gaze at her and not just continue teaching and not just continue, hey, we're going to continue our study here. Just please ignore the bowed over woman that's all broken down here. He gazed at her. I'm sure the others did also because you couldn't not see her. But he engaged her and he encountered her. And there's 4 points I want to mention what Jesus did, and they are in order. First, he saw her. Jesus sees you and I. He sees our condition. He sees us. The second thing he did, which was amazing considering she was a woman in the day, the Bible says he called her forward. Do you understand? He didn't go back to her and try to get her out of the bed. He called her this way. Step forward. Step forward. God is calling us forward. Doesn't matter if you're a man, woman, boy, girl, called her forward. And the third thing is he spoke to her. He addressed her. And the fourth thing is he put his hands on her and touched her. And this is the opposite of telling her to leave the room, get back in your seat, get out of this church. This is a men's group. He was so kind to her, so loving. He spoke and he declared that you are free. He touched her and instantly she stood up straight. I got to tell you, that was a great men's group they had that day. I just have to say, that's just the best of the best. And what a lesson from both Jesus and the woman. Because I have to ask you, what gave her the courage, the audacity that she would come in spite of culture? I want to say something to us tonight. Don't let anyone tell you it isn't the right time. It isn't the right place for you to go to Jesus. It's always the right time. It's always the right place. And anyone who's a true believer will receive that and receive. And there's a scripture. I thought of several scriptures that I wanted to bring out. I have some place to go tonight, so we're going to have our worship team come. But I want to give you a couple scriptures that are just amazing. This woman dared to come. She broke through. She just, you know, and here's the thing I have to ask myself. Why? I think she was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. I think she just had enough. If we ever get to that point in our lives where we've dealt with something for so long, 18 days, 18 weeks, 18 months, 18 years, when is it going to be time when we will say, I'm going to get to Jesus? Any meeting that I can go to, I'm going to it. I don't care if it's a kids club meeting. If Jesus is there at the kids club meeting, I'm going. I'm going, and I'm going to be healed, and I'm going to receive that. I think she was a desperate woman. You had to be to bust in like that. But here's a scripture that I think you're going to really like. Isaiah 42:16. I will bring the blind in a way they did not come. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. God says he will make crooked places straight. Jesus will unbend the bended, those who are bowed down. He will lift up our head, whether due to sickness, shame, grief, or sorrow. Psalm 3:3 says this, but you, O Lord, are the shield for me. You are the glory and the lifter up of my head. God will lift us up. There's reasons in life. We may not be physically bowed down, but we can be emotionally broken down, bowed over. Have you ever met people? I have been to several psychiatric wards, and also I saw this same thing when I was at a drug rehabilitation place, Glen Oaks, some years back, where people just hung their heads down. They were bowed over. But part of Jesus is you can hold your head up high. Whatever anybody says to you, someone told me, an example for me, sometimes you can be spiritually beat down. Many, many years ago, after I had come to Christ a short time, I had someone, by that time I was actually a very new pastor at the time, and I had someone come to me and say, I know your past, and I just don't understand how anyone thinks that you could be a pastor. I know you did this and this and this. And I looked him straight in the eye, and I said, you don't know the half of it. And that is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Because whom much is given, much is required. And the blessing of the Lord, if anybody knows, I told the guy, I said, if anybody knows, I know of the forgiveness of God. I have known his forgiveness. I have known his great love, his salvation, his healing. So you can hold your head high. You can say, I know who I am in Christ. I am a daughter of the Most High God. I am a son of the King of all kings. So this woman who was bowed down, Jesus unbent her. And I think that's just an amazing story that Jesus will lift up our heads again. God bless you. We love you guys.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.